Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Love to hear from you. So really, give us a call. And if you prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Tough week. It's always a tough week, right? These days, just getting through. Even if you think that markets were holding up okay, our lives aren't, right? I mean, so it's, if you're pretty normal, and I think we're kind of normal, right? But kind of normal is not normal, right? It's different. We don't see clients at the office now. We're working, so, you know, in that sense, we're really blessed, right? But you can't gather with your friends. You can't go see your grandkids. I mean, it's just everything is so upside down. It's different. So it feels so much different. But in the sense that what I wanted to talk about was the sense of how bad the news is real. I mean, the economic news is horrible. It's off the charts horrible. We haven't seen numbers like this. We've not seen numbers like this. It's incredible to think about. In a short span of a couple months, we've decided to take the best economy literally ever and turn it into the worst ever. That's quite a trick. I mean, it really is. Now, some will say it's all politics and it's this and this. It's, you know, it's a whole mix of things. I don't know what the right answer is. I really don't. But when we shut everything down the way we did, we made a choice to destroy the strongest economy ever. That's quite a decision. And we did it, interestingly enough, on science, right? We did it on the numbers we were told we needed to do. This or many, many, many millions of people would die. And it turned out the science wasn't right. It wasn't right. They keep changing the numbers, the models, the assumptions. How deadly it is goes from whatever it was, 10% to 5 to 4 to, is it 0.1 or 0.2 now? And the goal line keeps changing, right? We have to flatten the curve. We're not going to get rid of the virus. We know that. That's it. But we have to flatten the curve, so we did that. But now the goalposts have moved. And when they keep doing this, we just don't know where we're going, do we? I mean, we're told one thing, and then they completely change that to another. Well, that's not really fair. That's not fair in any game. But certainly isn't when we have made it so that you can't operate your business anymore. And we keep telling you that if we do this, then we'll do that. And then they don't. So based on science, that's what we're always told. You know, the president doesn't believe in science. Okay, right, okay. So we're believing in science, but we're not believing in science because science is never right. Did they do it intentionally? No. But the idea that people can know about things that we haven't known anything about before just proves how difficult everything is to predict the future. But the science was most certainly wrong. And as we talked about last week, this isn't a pat on the back. It's, again, to say and to understand. When people say, the news says, well, thousands are going to die. North Carolina will never be the same after this hurricane. Whatever the natural disaster is, the pundits are wrong. It's never that bad. Millions are going to die. No, they're not. A couple hundred thousand are going to die. No, they're not. the death rate is so astronomically high. It's not. It's not. Now we have to test until everybody has a test that they can take in 5 seconds before they enter a building. Oh, I went to a new building. I need another test. That's when we can really open up, when we have a vaccine and it's all gone. It's always moving the goal lines. And when we're in this world, you tell somebody, we are going to destroy your business. Not you. You didn't do anything. But we're going to make it so nobody can come to your business anymore. And here's what the rules are, though. Okay, so here's the rules. The rules are, we have to bend the curve. So we're here in a little bit, we'll bend the curve, and then we'll all get back to work. Well, no, we won't. We're going to need some more testing. And then we need to keep going. And then we've gotten this going, so we're going to keep going. Well, wait a minute. You told me a month ago when we bent the curve, it was good. The curve's bent, but I can't open. No, you can't. We've changed the rules. Now, how do you deal with that when you're shut down? When you watch everything go away? When you can't take care of your employees, your family? I think people get angry. I don't blame them. And with no explanation, they change the rules. None. I mean, none. If the rule was, we're going to shut everything down until the virus doesn't spread anymore. That's a different rule. That says 18 months, we're just all going to die. That's it. But when you keep changing the rules, it's not fair. And it's emotionally a disaster, I think, for people. I don't really know what rules we play by anymore. I don't know. They just keep changing. It's Calvin Ball. For those of you that know what Calvin Ball is, right? Made up game as you go. So once we have this and this and this, then we can really feel safe about opening. No, there's something else. There'll be something else because there always is. Those that want to open up and are willing to take the risk are willing to take the risk. They want to move forward. Those that don't, they want to shut down a government takeover of everything. This is their dream. This is their dream. This is how we get to communism, which has been their dream. I know they phrase it in different ways, you know, socialist, democrat or something, but there's no such thing. There's not an in-between to being free and being enslaved. To have a ruling class and not. There is no in-between. We're in motion, one direction or the other. There's no in-between. You don't get that. Give the government ultimate power, they take it. And they grow their power base. It happens 100% of the time, always. That's not a political discussion. It's just a fact. So we have these two warring positions now, don't we? Let's roll. I want my country back. And I'll tell you what I think it's more based on, not just economics, because that's perfect. Isn't that perfect? Because then it could just be greedy Wall Street or a bunch of greedy business people. People are all more concerned about money than people living. God, they're awful people. Who would trade a dollar for a life? Perfect. I mean, just absolutely perfect. You can hide behind that one just beautifully. Beautifully. But that's not it at all. The people that want their country back are afraid that their country is going to change in front of them without even an election. Just a takeover. A takeover of government, of everything. I know I am. It's what this is. I want my country back. I want the freedoms back. We can be careful. We have a pandemic. We've got issues. But do we really think we can shut everything down, destroy everything, have the government take everything over and not keep it later? Is that really what people think? Because, man, I got a bridge to sell you. Tell me when government relinquished control of anything. Tell me when government has done anything well. Anything. We talk about, well, government is trying to, we're trying to figure out how to be fair. No, you're not. It's not fair. Fair is what? You decide, because you're in power, who gets the contract to, you know, do the school's food. The school's computers. Builds the school. Doling out to the buddies. They never relinquish control. That's what I think this is about. It's really important. Really important. But we have to be careful. Don't let people go there. Don't let people go there. We got to change the narrative. What are we after? Freedom. What do you want? Freedom. Not money. Freedom. Change the argument. We're not swapping a dollar bill for lives. We're swapping freedom. And we're not swapping freedom for lives because if we don't have that, more lives will be lost. We will destroy this country. Totally. Some want to. To me, that's the fight right now, right? It is the fight. And we're looking ahead. We've had the most devastating numbers. Markets looking ahead, and it has been rallying. We had a small setback this week. Very small, frankly. 1%, something like that. Not much. Not much, considering the rally we've had. But we're seeing devastating numbers. Life-changing numbers for many people. And we've got to stop that. We've got to get back to work. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Warren. Warren, thank you for calling.
You're welcome, Mr. Petzl. Thank you for taking my call. I got a question for you. Got to get your take on the oil prices. Looks like this morning on oilprice.net, oil was roughly $16.94 a gallon. And if you look at Chevron stock, they're about $87 a share with a 52-week high of 127. Dave, here's my question. Is there any correlation between the price of oil and the price of Chevron stock or Mobil, Exxon? Could you say that if oil goes to $35 a barrel, which is almost double of what it is now, could you say that maybe Chevron stock might go up to $165?
No.
Am I on the mark or way off the mark?
You're off the mark on that one, okay?
Okay, tell me what, as a person, I have a few grand that I need to invest, would like to. How would I take advantage of this? Because I know oil is going to go up, and how would I invest in something that I could make some profit on that?
Yeah, well, the oil companies will go up, but they're not going to be proportional to the price of a barrel of oil, okay? So, and also be careful. There's an awful lot of oil in the world, right? People knew it was going to go to $200 a barrel. It didn't. People knew it was going to go into the single digits. It didn't. There's, you know, people who are do nothing more in their whole life than to count the number of barrels of oil and the production coming online. In other words, the oil analysts, they don't do anything but that, right? They get it wrong all the time. So, Warren, when you say you know it's going up, I may agree with you, but it doesn't make any difference at all. What we always have to do is say, we don't know. So what you want to do if you have that fundamental belief that oil will go up, there's two ways to play that. If you really want a leveraged play on that, then you're going to go with oil drillers because nobody's drilling a hole in the ground right now because why? Energy, pulling out a barrel of oil, even if you do discover oil there, is more expensive to get it out of the ground than you can sell it for right now. That's a problem, right? So nobody's drilling holes right now. That is a huge problem. These companies will barely survive. And be careful what you're buying out there. Stay away from companies that are selling for next to nothing pennies and hoping you're going to make a 10-bagger or 20-bagger on it. those companies are going to zero. Absolutely, certainly are going to zero. They have debt. They don't have any ability to make it. Stay with the highest quality in every sector. If you want something that's more of a, if you will, a more conservative play, then do stay with your Exxon and Chevron. They have a better balance sheet. They're paying nice dividends right now, and many people will own them for the dividends compared to what you can get somewhere else. A 5 or 6% dividend sounds really juicy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And you can't get that at the bank, right? And will Chevron and Exxon cut their dividends in half? Okay, let's pretend they do. Then Exxon moves from, what, 9 to 4.5? Chevron moves to 3. That's still better. In fact, I don't think that the stocks would be hurt at all if they would cut their dividends in half. They have access to capital. The little guys don't. That's what you're talking about in this time. And with access to capital, what they're going to do is they're not going to drill holes in the ground. They're going to buy up the remnants of the companies that went bankrupt. And they're going to get bigger. They're going to buy production for pennies on the dollar, or at least dollars on the hundreds of dollars, right? I mean, it's not going to be free. The courts won't allow a bankruptcy to just be like, well, you get to buy this for this all this land for a dollar. But on top of that, the value of the royalties goes down, meaning the leases that they have to hold on land they don't own, the prices go down for that. So all of the costs start collapsing for drilling, meaning the price per barrel to extract goes down. So you have this self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. There's much more than driving cars and flying airplanes in oil. It's all kinds of things, from the bags we have. I'll give you an example. Everybody wants this PPE, right? Right? This personal protection equipment, right? We have masks. What's that made of? Petrochemicals. What about the masks themselves? I'm talking about the plastic mask. What about the little paper masks? Petrochemicals. What about the oozing, gooing stuff we put on our hands, right? Petrochemicals. It's made of oil. This stuff is it's vast in the chemicals that it produces. So it's not going away. It's changing because we're figuring out how to use less of it to drive the economy. And right now we're in out of balance because of what happened with the pandemic. So, Warren, Exxon and Chevron, if you want to play that, and I think it's worth looking at. I really do.
Well, the reason I brought this up is I've been talking to one of my brokers, and I bought some of the Cisco stock that you recommended a few weeks ago, and also Disney stock, which is doing a little bit. But he suggested you might just get into it. So companies got mutual funds that has oil in there mixed in with that mutual fund.
Yeah.
And I talked to another broker through Waddell & Reed. He said, well, why don't you just buy you some energy stocks?
Yeah.
As gas and oil and all that. And I'm not knowledgeable enough to make a decision on that. That's why I called you, just to get your take as to where would be a good investment for me. I'm 77 years old, and the money that I'm considering investing, if I lose it, it's not going to hurt. I have been saving this for a long time to find something good to put it in. So that was my question. Where would you suggest?
I think, I don't like to go into energy or things like that. And I'm sorry, I'm backing up against a break. But let me put it this way, Warren. There's a lot of stuff that went on sale right now, okay? It's not just oil. There's a lot of companies out there, like we talked about with Disney and all these others. And I think Disney's going to survive. But, man, do they have a long, ugly path in front of them right now, right? There's
yes,
no sports. They're ESPN. There's no sports. And then on top of that, you've got advertising that's way, way down. So you have no sports with no advertising, which includes ABC, which they own. And then you have absolutely all the parks are closed. Great. So they've got some streaming movies. Fantastic. That's it, to hold up the whole enterprise. Tough deal. But this is a major, major entertainment company. They'll be back. But the question you have to ask yourself on all of these, Warren, any area that you're talking about going into, please make sure that they're rock-solid balance sheets, that they can survive this. Otherwise, they're just not going to exist, okay?
Well, Chevron and Mobil Exxon are exactly what you're saying. They are rock-solid companies, in my humble opinion. And that might be a place to start looking.
You got it. You got it. Warren, thank you for your call.
Have a good day, sir.
You do the same. Thank you. Have a great day. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We've got to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number again is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. It's always a hard time, right, when we think about it and in trying to think about how the market's doing or where we're at. In fact, think of it this way. When we were thinking about it 2 months ago, the market, right, how many market commentators were positive? All of them. Even the ones that were negative, say, going into 2019, which, if I want to remind people, was like an up 25 to 30% year. That's a big year. So even the negatives had turned to positive as we head to this and we have the Black Swan event. A pandemic by itself is a black swan, but our reaction to this is interesting. And as we look around the world, interesting, frightening, it may be the black swan event, right? Is how we reacted to it. Not the event itself, but how we reacted to it. Because we've never done this before, right? Where we just simply go, okay, so we have something that is very, very similar. As it turns out, science is changing. As it turns out, has about the same death rate as the flu. Maybe slightly more. But it appears to be really, really, really close. That a lot of people, and in fact, it might be most people, show literally no signs of having it. None. Or little. I mean, how many people go and think, wow, I'm going to get tested for coronavirus because I have a little runny nose? Like none. Now, if you felt horrible and got whacked over the head with this thing, yeah, you would. You would. But our choices were, the choice in this, right, is to shut everything down and throw money at it. Now, we don't know how this is going to come out. We pretend to have an idea of what it means to throw $2 trillion at something, to pay people more money to not work than to work. That would not have any social implications later. No, not at all. Then we would have the whack jobs out there saying what we really need to do is like wipe out rent for another 2 years for everybody. Okay, and what does that look like? Just we wipe it out. We who? Do we not pay the landlords? Is that what we should do? How do we do that, AOC? What does that look like? Where do we transition in a couple of years after people have been sitting and playing video games for 2 years? What does that transition to? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I forgot. You forgot. We're going to bonus them $1,000 or $2,000 a month on top of their free rent. Brilliant. And the end game is what? People are trying to remake everything, and that's the frightening part. It's not going to happen. But our answer, right or wrong, the answer was to shut her down and destroy the economy over the next few weeks. We're going to figure out how to reopen. And whether we do it right is going to be the determinant of where this economy is, perhaps who the president is, right? We've got some tough times coming up here in the news, for sure. We'll be back after the Fox News, top of the hour. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Okay, we've got no Fox News today. That's all right. That's okay. We'll make news, or we'll make it up. We'll make fake news, because that's what we do anyway. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. It is tough looking at the news. It's tough seeing people out asking for their life back and hearing people talking about how dumb they are, or they just don't know the science, or they're trying to swap their dollars for lives. Real people are dying. And they're not dying when they're depressed. They're not dying when they lose their business. They're not dying with opioid addictions. They're not dying of alcoholism. They're not dying of poverty. People want their life back. I just think it's a bigger question than that. I think we're missing the argument when we say, I want my life back. Yeah, I can handle it. My life's pretty good. And my favorite person in the whole wide world is the person I live with. Makes a big difference. But you know what? That isn't true of everyone. It's not true of everyone. A lot of people on their own, going deeper into depression. The circle of people that they had, that all people, lots of people have anyway, right? At church, in your faith community, it's fractured. I haven't seen my brothers. I've been with part of a group for 30 years. We Zoom, but it's not the same. It's not the same. And we feel it. We can all deal with it. As long as it takes, we're going to deal with it. Whatever's delivered. But I understand why people are up in arms. You can't buy seeds for a garden. That's what government does. People say, oh, that's just silly. I know. Oh, yeah, she just blew this or that. Why? Because government blows it all the time. They don't think things through. They just react. They're just human beings that are making a reaction in power. It's a power grab. But they're taking our power away. They see it as a way to change. How did Claiborne say it the other day? A way to change the world the way we ought to have it, or the way we see it, the way we want it to be. So that's what a pandemic is an opportunity for a party to rule things in a different way because they can't legislatively get their nonsense through. Oh, well, that's perfectly acceptable. To who? Who accepts this? I mean, when did it become this thing that Ron Emanuel was such a heroic thing to say, you don't want to mess up a crisis? No, we don't want to legislate in our country. We don't. We just want to steal things. That's what we do as politicians. If we can't get it the right way, then whatever way is okay. How is this acceptable? I wouldn't be acceptable to me if Donald Trump did that. It isn't acceptable, period. It's not the way we do things. You grind it out, you talk about it, you do stuff. You don't use a crisis to change something you can't do correctly because people don't buy it. Make your case, you sack. That's just terrible. I mean, what a bunch of sacks, really. And we're accepting this nonsense. No wonder people are angry. You take their businesses away. You take their lives away. You take their communities away. And tell them they can't even grow a garden because you, the government, figured out how you shouldn't be able to go into the seed department of the store. And they can't make a living. I mean, this is a very profound time in our lives. This is very profound. It's not a pandemic. I mean, it is a pandemic, brought on by a pandemic. What are we going to do as a society? Are we going to let people use this as an opportunity to do wrong? In some places, I suppose they are. Hey, we can't do it legislatively, so let's stuff it down their throat. Well, why don't you just move straight to communism? That's what they do. It doesn't matter what people want. Just do it. Government dictate. Not hard for me to understand why people might be a little bit upset. Not hard to see. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Jim, what you got for us today?
Morning, Dave. May I Good talk morning. Heretically for a second?
Okay.
Well, you just had a commercial that said about the virus, about people with a runny nose getting tested. A lot of people have this thing that don't know it. However, they give it to people who shouldn't have it given to. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I would call that culling the herd. I would call it natural selection. I would call it survival of the fittest. I would call it nature, and I would call it God.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, we're talking about the long run. Who says that that is bad?
Right.
The medical establishment is in business to keep people alive, whether they're brain dead or not, keep them alive for as long as possible to make money. That's it.
Well, and also, let's face it, I think the underlying necessity to have medicine do no harm first is an incredibly critical overriding, what do they call it, Hippocratic Oath, right?
Right.
That's an important point. It's not just about making money. It's about what is our drive. So understanding that, that's great, because otherwise you'd be like, "Meh, I don't like that guy anyway, so let's kill him." You know, you could even get into almost a political division, like we only heal these people here. We don't heal the. In other words, if you are a doctor, nurse in the medical community, the thing you understand is whoever's in front of you, you must heal. Period. You don't decide what their life was like, whether they were bad or good. You heal them. Let other things make the decision later about whether that person's good, bad, or whatever, right?
Right.
And that to me is an important overriding thing. But Jim, you bring up a big point as well, and that is, look, if this disease goes after people that are most vulnerable, those are people we should try to protect. But it's going to find them anyway, right? I mean, a large number of them, no matter what we do.
Well, we can talk about quality of life, and you know the weird thing about it is, you could even draw a connection with, for instance, Hitler, right? I mean, Hitler believed in survival of the fittest, you know, making the race stronger. Okay, now, you've got all of these people that have died, right? You've got a lot of people that have died. What do you do with them? Now, the ideal thing is not to put them in the ground 6 feet under, you know? Okay, now you use cremation. Okay, now, what are cremation on a large scale? They're ovens like at Auschwitz, ironically. So anyway, I mean, these people, the best thing to do would be, obviously, to create a lot of people. How are you going to bury 50,000 people?
Well, they're going to bury a whole bunch of them. Not everybody wants to be cremated.
I know.
But at any rate, no. But I mean,
we're talking reality.
Well, I don't think we're practicing genocide here at all. We're trying to save lives.
But I mean, you know. I mean, the world should have, the earth should have space for the living, not necessarily the dead.
Well, okay, but, you know, that's a reasonable point, but probably one about whether we ought to actually allow people to be buried or cremated, right?
Right, right, right.
Right, right. So, anyway, but I do think that this is a turning point in this for our country. It's time. Right or wrong, whatever path we are taking, and we won't know because whatever path we take, we're going to decide is right, and other people are going to decide is wrong. You know, they're going to make arguments, we should have gone this way, but you don't know because we didn't go that way. We didn't go the way of Sweden. Okay, we didn't. We decided to shut it all down. Sweden didn't. So we'll see. But we're not going to see because then we'll make the argument that however we feel. Right. So let's say I think Sweden made the right move. So I will see Sweden as being really smart, and I will look at the numbers and the data to prove my point. Same data, same numbers. I will prove, because I don't think they did the right thing, perhaps on the other side. And they will say, see, it really isn't. It's not something you can compare to America. It's not the same. They don't have a place like Manhattan. Okay. We're going to look through the data, and we're going to parse it however we want. One thing that we have found about the data so far is it's wrong. It's completely wrong. Many more people have it. Many are asymptomatic. It clearly strikes people that are that have multiple conditions. That's what that's who it really drills, doesn't it? I mean, that's why the nursing homes get emptied out.
You can't believe, I mean, the medical establishment, they're a bunch of computer nerds with wrong data. But then you get into the actual economics, right? How much is a human life worth? Where there's got to be a, you know, millions, billions for one life? Give me a break. But that's their theory. I mean, we've got human life, and we'll spend whatever it takes to save that human life.
Well, we should.
We can't afford it.
No, we can't. We can and we can't. What I'm saying is that the value of a human life is infinite. It's infinite.
Well, you're an economics guy. You should know that's not right.
Well, I have faith that says that every life has an amazing amount of value.
It does.
An unlimited value. The life of one for many, right? That's my faith, and I think that many share that, and we have a deep belief, even those that don't have that belief.
Well, we're going to have to raise taxes or something.
Well, that's a different argument. It's totally different. I'm saying that people should be. It's not that people should be kept alive that aren't alive. My grandmother had no idea who she was for years and years and years and years. No idea who she was.
Well, would you want to be her?
I wouldn't want to either. No, that's my point. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that for us to value a life is an economics impossibility.
True.
It's not something we can value. I'm just saying that this is a discussion that we do value life. It's what Americans do because we are a faith-based nation. We think of it differently. Do you think the Chinese value life? Of course they don't. They only value their own power. They value lives because it has an end point to it. And there are people in this country that feel that way, too. They feel that the only reason for life is for them to be empowered. And I get that. But faith still runs through our system. Whether people go to church, whether they pray, whether they have faith at all, it still permeates our society. It permeates it in a positive way. We reach out to the rest of the world. Go ahead. You don't like us? That's fine. But when you have a tragedy, who's the first people there? The U.S. Navy is, right? They're there with supplies to save people that can't wait to strap a bomb to their kids to go blow up a sailor. It's who we are. It's who we are as a nation, and I really believe that's because we fundamentally it gets all the way back to believe in every single life as sanctified. We get back to that. It comes back to that. So the value of a life can't be put in a dollar amount. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, bottom line, we just have to fire up the old printing press, and it's in theory. I mean, Medicare, for instance, only covers so much. The doctors won't actually be paid, and et cetera, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway.
All right, Jimmy.
Well, take care. That's the weird thing. I mean, the world seems to be falling apart, and yet the stock market is hanging in there.
I know. That's exactly right. That's what we started today's program talking about. We'll keep talking about it, too.
Okay. Have a nice week.
Jim, you too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's not an economic argument, but it is. It gets back to it. It's not trading a life. It's saying we're losing our life. We're going to lose it to poverty. We're going to lose everything else. It's not making that swap. It's not. Because our country believes that every life, every single life, is important. Everyone. And you don't even have to have faith to have that feeling. Because it's just who we are. It's just who we are. I've got to talk about this, but I'm gonna go ahead and take a break right now. And I'm going to talk about this coming out. I just got this text here. We will deal with your questions regarding the annuities. Ken, thank you for it. We'll talk about that next, but I want to leave a good chunk of a segment. And that also is to say this. Our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. Our phone number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. please feel free to do so on the lines. We'd love to have you. It's 580-543-6580-KIDO. And also, of course, our email, which we've got a couple of really good ones today. I always have good ones. But what I mean by that is ones that are going to take a little more time than a quick answer. And that email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. So Ken writes, annuity pimps. Dave, I scream at the radio every time I hear the annuity pimps use this pandemic to scare people into locking in their market losses so they can make themselves fat commissions. They never say that the guaranteed income for life is totally dependent upon the insurance company's ability to pay. Furthermore, those insurance companies' ability to pay is dependent upon those investments in the Wall Street casino. How do these people look themselves in the mirror? Thanks for letting me vet. Ken, thank you. I appreciate it, and I know it. Believe me, I can't listen. I want to start this segment here, if you will, this question. You've really hit on a couple of things here that I really haven't spent much time talking about. But I would like to, again, reiterate that for well over 30 years now, I can't remember if it's 33 or 34 years I've been on the radio, I've been talking about the fact that, especially with equity-indexed annuities, that these are wrong. They're dead wrong. They don't work. And there's multiple better solutions, way better, infinitely better, okay? Why? Because they don't pay fat commissions. So the money doesn't come out of the product. So we've talked about them before, but I'll touch on them here in a moment, okay? But I want to make this point. For over 30 years, I've invited any of the annuity pimps to come on, to talk, to call in, and debate on the beauty of their product. Do you know how many have? None. They never do because there is no justification. So looking themselves in the mirror, I have no idea, to your point. I really don't know how they do it. They justify it that they're making lots of money for their family or what have you. I don't know. I cannot explain why. Because here's what I was told over, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm that old, but almost 40 years ago. When I was just this kid just showing up at this meeting, and I remember this guy telling the audience, you can do this in two ways in this industry. You can run for a dollar today, or you can build a reputation that you can't get out of the way of the avalanche of money. I thought that was really profound. And I thought about it all these years. And how do you set up guardrails in an industry? Nowadays, it's easy. We have a fiduciary relationship with our clients. We have to, both legally and morally, do the right thing by our clients all the time. We can't go any other direction, period. Has to be. Now, let's go to the big question here. And that is, when we say that the income is guaranteed, that is the question I've not spent enough time on. That's the point of this. So you are asking for the full faith and credit of an insurance company, which may or may not be solid, and certainly in times of extreme stress, is not. They're not banks. They don't have access to the Federal Reserve. They're not. And we still lose banks, don't we? We still lose insurance companies. You just don't hear about them very often. The insurance laws in this country and why they are there is a weird thing. They're done state by state. So it's much easier for insurance companies to have a state and lobby, spend money state by state to keep the laws in their favor. I'm not saying everything that insurance companies do is bad, but they're bad. I was on a board of an insurance company for years. It's an advisory board, but I understood the workings of it very well. I was there for 10 years. It was very interesting. All decisions were made for the benefit of the insurance company. Always. And I thought these were pretty good people. Really. They weren't crooks, all operating within the law, but every decision was for their benefit. Always. Always. Product design for their benefit. Everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it has to have some flexibility built in to when they get something wrong, because people do, that there's flexibility to make it right, not hiding behind contract law. I want to say that I think the insurance companies are reasonably safe. But when you're talking about, do I think that it's fair to be able to say that $500,000 that you put into an annuity and you expect a lifetime of income that could be 30 or 40 years is 100% guaranteed? I think it's quite a statement. I think it's quite a statement. Because it's guaranteed by that company. Now, I'm going to give you what I think is a better product by far. I know it's a better product by far. They're called structured notes. And you can dial them in however you want. You can dial them in with a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year. You can create them with as much downside protection, even having all of your capital back. You can have it FDIC insured. That's right, the people that have the printing press. FDIC insured. Can't do that with an equity indexed annuity. So whatever level of safety a person wants, they have. Do you know what has to go out with that? That product? No commission paid. None. Oh, some people have it, but I mean, nobody in my world operates that way anyway. A 1-inch thick book goes out with that. Do you know what it says? All the risk. I mean, it pages of, you can lose all of your money. You can all your money. Why? Because J.P. Morgan, maybe they're the ones underwriting it. Maybe it's Citicorp. Whoever it is underwriting it. Because all the major banks do it. Goldman Sachs, they could go out of business. And unless it's FDIC insured, which most people don't go for because they think that probably J.P. Morgan's going to be around for the next 3 years. And they get a better deal then. That's what you call honest disclosures. So what are you doing? You're loaning money to them. They set up a bunch of hedges. Bam. There's no risk in it for J.P. Morgan. And there's no risk in it for you or whatever risk you take. Maybe you want to protect 30% of your downside. Maybe you're more comfortable with only 10% of your downside. What does that equate to? You get more of the upside. Today, because interest rates are so low and the product is so bad, it is just so bad. Can you imagine today, in today's world, anybody getting 10% commissions? It's just unbelievable to me. Can you imagine in this world with all the options that people have, that people would tie their money up for 10 years and you wouldn't even be able to get your money back after 5 years in an equity indexed annuity? And in all of this to say, you can only get 3%. Three. If the market goes up 25, you get 3. Those are the caps today. 3. Now, you won't get 3 because some years you're going to lose money, which means in the equity index annuity, because guess what? You're guaranteed. And oh my gosh, I don't have a guarantee. I just got to have a guarantee. So you don't get any in those years. So you get 0 and a 3 and a 3 and a 3 and a 0 and a 3 and a 3, which doesn't equal three. But I'm going to tie up my money for 10 years. And I can't make it, I can't change my mind. If I do, oh boy, are you going to have a coma after you get whacked on the head. Why? Because 10% commissions were paid out. With 10% commissions means we have to recover that as an insurance company. Just because you change your mind doesn't mean we want to be not profitable. So you've got all kinds of options out there. Using a balanced portfolio to put to take some of the risk off the table. Use the structured notes. There's so much competition out there now. Do I think J.P. Morgan is safer than any insurance company in the world? Let me think really, really hard on that one. Access to the Federal Reserve Bank. He says, I don't know. Largest deposit base in the world. I don't know. Such a hard thing. It's not a hard thing. They're safer. Look, the deals all change depending on volatility in the market. All. How much downside protection you want? We ran into one the other day. It's not available now because it was a certain type of circumstance in the market, volatility, all those things, right? 265% of the upside. 265% of what the Dow or the NASDAQ gained over the next 5 years. What's my downside? First 10%, they eat. Not much protection. After that, I would eat it dollar for dollar. But 265% on the upside. Can't get it now. It's probably like 200%. I know what you're saying. You're saying, I want 200%. I know, but there's downside. There's other things. And I would disclose all those. My point is this. There's a million different things. And if I say I want 30% of my downside covered, I don't get 265%, do I? I don't get 200 today. I'd get, what, 150? I don't know. It just depends. It depends on the overall market. But instead of capping people at three, how about you just get the full upside? The full upside. Huh. Not less than three guaranteed. Guaranteed less than three. And you can't get out. Anyway, nonsense. These things are terrible. Listen, Ken, I get boiled too about these things. We all do. I appreciate you talking about it. And to sit here and tell us that they're guaranteed without disclosures, I want to say this real quick, and I'm hopeful. The Department of Insurance has some new legislation. I'm hoping that the rules will get written soon, because this stuff on the radio that you hear, between Sally and Mary and who, whatever nonsense this is, this has got to stop. When people say they get upside of the market, but it's capped at three, that's not upside. That's BS. It is. They know it. Everybody knows it. These products are horrifying. Ken, thank you for pointing it out and pointing out the lack of guarantees that really are in that. Department of Insurance is working on it. I hope they hurry along. And I hope we get to go back again and ask the legislators to do more. In this day and age, this kind of thing has got to be illegal. It has to be. It's so bad. We got to take a quick break. Terry, you're up to bat next. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Our number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436-580-KIDO. And, I forgot, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, real quick, hang on 1 second, Terry, because I want to get this out, and I hopefully will remember to do it again. Dave, thank you for all the great advice over the years. There's a group of us marching at the Capitol at noon today. This will be the third Saturday that we have marched. I will be wearing a mask, and my sign says, be safe and be at work. We are welcome. You all are welcome to join us. We are keeping a safe distance, of course. My small business clients are hurting. We need to keep pressure on Governor Little. He's absolutely wrong to keep this order in place. He swore on the Constitution. He's not withholding that, and goes on. I just want to say, and I want to mention that I think that's great. Go out, make your voice heard, keep a safe distance, all those good things that you're doing. That's called civil disobedience, and we have every right to do that, and we have got to keep our society free to do that. Free to do that, free to be heard and understood. This is not a question, as I mentioned earlier, this is not a question of life versus a dollar. There are all kinds of lives at stake. Losing businesses, people stuck in their homes by themselves, depressed and getting more depressed by the day. Their life fading away, because we know how that is. We all know that. You don't have to have lived it to intuitively know that when people don't have things to live for, they die. And people don't have people. Poverty, drug addiction, alcohol sales are blossoming. Pot sales are at record levels. But the heck else is there to do? Can't see your grandkids. All of these things have consequences, and our freedom is really the structure. Let's keep this as an argument about love, loving all people, and valuing all life. We do. We do. So, Robbie, I hope you get a good turnout today. I really do, and thank you for the heads up here. I appreciate that very much. Let's go to the phones. Terry, how are you today?
Good, sir. How about yourself?
I am. Actually, I'm just catching fire now, man. I'm going.
Well, wasn't it you that promised me that everything would be fair?
Yeah. If I could do that, I'm sorry, but you'd be second after my kids, and I just never had that.
Yeah, you were talking about the dollar versus life, and is my life more important than that dollar? That's where it comes back to vested self-interest kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was wondering, going through and waiting for my $1,200 welfare check and all that fancy stuff, do you and or Tom have any insight about what's going on with that? Because the Internal Revenue Service says they don't have the VA or Social Security information, and that's why that... they say that's being held up.
Hmm.
And it just makes me wonder, of course, we know government doesn't do anything well.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if y'all had any insight about that.
They don't do it well. I get that. But I've got to say this, that my daughter got hers. And in fact, Terry, I think you're one of the only ones I've heard is having a problem. So,
well, it's not a problem. It's only money. But.
Right. Well, that's fair, but I appreciate your not worrying about it, but I do believe that most of the checks have gone out.
Oh, okay. Well,
In fact, I know Tom got his, too. He was talking about it, okay? His family got his.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of...
Well, now I feel put upon by the government again.
It's all about you, Terry. I think they're holding yours hostage for transgressions of the past. I think that's what probably it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the computer and they finally caught up with
me. They did. They caught you. So I'm sorry. Is there some VA number or Social Security is not matching for you? So.
Well, anyway, I'll just go out and enjoy my neighbor's. I've got a pair of nesting Cooper's hawks.
Well, that's good. That's very inexpensive to do, but you will get some sunshine on your face, and that will bring some joy into your heart.
All right. Well, you take care, sir.
You do the same. Thanks for the call, Terry. Appreciate it.
All right. Good day.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to George. George, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir.
I wonder if I might address this thing of the value of human life. Of course, Jesus told us we're in that season where we realize what God thinks about each one of us. But
yeah.
As far as that's concerned, somebody brought up an issue on one of the TV programs the other day, And they said, you know, there's something like between, 35,000 and 40,000 people who are killed every year on the highways. And if we really cared about that, we could mandate that all the cars go at 5 miles an hour. And mm-hmm. that way we could eliminate traffic accidents, at least accidents that kill people. And someone else, this is a couple of weeks ago, they called in. They said, you know, it seems like everything is a trade-off. I don't remember which. It was one of these talk programs. They said, everything seems to be a trade-off, that with the coronavirus, it evidently is pretty deadly, because in the amount of time that we know, 3 months, 4 months, mm-hmm. 50,000 people have died. And it's something like, but the president was talking, he dismissed it right at first,
mm-hmm.
And he said there were between 29 and 60,000 people that die just the plain old flu every year.
Yep.
So, you know, there always seems to be these trade-offs in combat. For instance, combat commander is trying to secure an objective, and he's got to send some people in to secure that, and he knows some of them are going to die, and he has to make that decision. And the president and the governor and all of these, it's like it's the same kind of thing. They're trying to make the decision based on the best information that they have. And you pointed out earlier in the show that the science is wrong. They made a wrong prediction, like what, a hockey stick prediction or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just wrong. But honest to goodness, I feel a little sympathetic toward these politicians, because I cannot imagine myself wanting to be a president or a governor. It's just I couldn't do it. Responsibilities too much. But these people that want to do that, they feel like there's something that they can do, and it doesn't matter what they do, they're going to take some static for it. Mr. Obama did.
Mm-hmm.
All the presidents, the president's taking it right now, and the governor is taking it. So it doesn't matter what they do. And they evidently feel like they have something to contribute, but there's nothing but criticism for them. So I just feel sympathetic toward them, because it's the same as the combat commander. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to end up with survivor guilt at the end of it? But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
George, I think that's a really very well said. And I'm going to basically say the same thing I said when the order first came out. Yes, I feel like I was hit in the gut. I was surprised. I was surprised that Governor Little didn't make some openings, right? It's not like we're all going to cinemas and concerts right. again, right?
Right?
Very disappointed. But here's what I really believe. He loves Idaho, and he has more information than I do. And I'm just going to go with it. I don't like it, and I want people to get out there and let them know how they feel. I really feel that that's an important thing. I know occasionally he listens to this program, and I hope I know he listens to Kevin's, and obviously I comment on that from time to time, and I hope that he rethinks this. I just do, because I think that we need to be moving forward, and not addressing the other issues that I talked about, of people literally dying in their homes,
mm-hmm.
Is wrong, and we need to talk about that, and we need to not talk about this that it's an economic swap. Because the economy is part of our life, and it is an important part, especially for those of us, and I'm not going to say men or women, there's just people that are entrepreneurs and stuff. It's who I am. It's the core of who I am. You take that away, I'm not who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that without me doing anything. And that's hard. That's really hard on people. And I just don't think that we really realize what it's like for people to throw deep, give it all up, spend 70 hours a week, and you do in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
to build an enterprise.
All right.
And then just take it away?
Well,
you know, that's just, you know, it's just, but not you take it away because you screw up. That's different.
Yeah.
It's totally different. But, George, I do trust the governor, and I think you're right. It's just they're making those decisions with the best information. I just hope they're flexible and think it through, and even if we're thinking about one business or another, to allow them to be getting back to work if they feel they can do it in a safe way, then let's do it. Let's mm-hmm. not let this bus sink deeper before we turn it around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't agree with the governor. I think this is overdone. I talked with a couple of people the other day, and they were saying the same things. And the people I talked to is like, yeah, this is being overdone. And I think so, too. One of my daughters has a small business, and she's considering civil disobedience, you know, because she's got to get back to work. 72% of the GDP of America is you and me buying, selling, doing our business.
Yep.
And that's huge. And, I mean, for everybody to be shut down, you've shut down America, basically.
Yep, you do. You certainly do.
Yeah.
George.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Dave.
Appreciate you. Thanks for hanging on, and thank you for your comments. You have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, Kevin, would you guys run a calculation for me and tell me when the out is? Let's just keep rolling and put the commercial at the back end, okay? Let's go to Paul in Meridian. Paul, whoops, I think I locked you. Did I get you there?
Yeah, no, I'm still here,
good,
Dave.
Paul.
Do you hear me?
You got it.
Okay, listen, I commend you for being the wonderful person that you are because you're giving the governor, I think, a little bit more courtesy that he deserves. You know, 3 months ago, our governor was leading governor in one of the leading governors in the nation because he was able to cut government regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 3 months later, he has imposed government regulation to the extent that he has destroyed tens of thousands of jobs. His decision destroyed thousands of companies here in the state of Idaho. And I think we're giving him too much credit because all important decisions in life have to be made within significant data.
Mm-hmm.
That's true in our personal lives. That's true in business. That's true in the military. And that's where the great leadership should be, is that you are able to make the right decision with insignificant data. And there are several other governors here in the United States who haven't shut down their states,
yeah,
who haven't done what the governor has done. When you put yourself in the cockpit of an aircraft, you have to know exactly how to handle any emergency that's going to come along in that aircraft.
Right.
And our governor, bless his wonderful heart, hasn't done that. And so I think the governor has lost the next election. There are just too many people out there who voted for him last time, who have had their lives destroyed, who have had their personal businesses and their relationships destroyed because of the actions of this governor. And I love him. I respect him. But I can't vote for him again because he has not the ability to make important decisions on insignificant data, on insufficient amounts of data. So I commend you, Dave, for being as kind a person as you are. And as you can tell, I'm not quite in the same league that you are.
Well, I still think you're being very much a gentleman, and that's all we can be. We have to be of civil discord here as well. We really do. In an uncivil world, we're allowed to be in disagreement, but we should not stoop to the level of many. And I don't think you did. So, Paul, good job.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up.
You have a good
Bye.
Day. Thanks now. And I don't know what I did. I locked the darn thing in place. Good. Thank you for taking care of that, Kevin. I appreciate that. Let's go to Dean in Payette. Dean, I've got about 2 minutes left. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not gonna rehash, but I go along with Jim and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that you got to be a lot kinder than we do. We can sit and foam at the mouth about the governor and all that. So my opinion is the same as that. But just on a little different topic, if you can address it maybe next week or something.
Yeah.
There's an Englishman that comes on. I think he's on K-Boy in about an hour or so. And he's not really an annuity pimp. He's an investor. But I'd like some comments on that. On what he does, if you're familiar with him.
I'm afraid I'm not. I'm sorry about that.
I think he comes on KBOI. I don't think he's on this channel, but I think he's on KBOI radio.
Is he? Okay, well, I can't listen to that because Kevin would have to shoot me. I'm sorry. No. Please.
Well, I got plenty of issues with your buddy Miller, so.
Oh, no, well, you're going to have to save that for Monday morning, okay?
All yeah. Right. Hey, have okay. a good one, buddy.
You do the same. Thanks, Dean. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
And, okay, hold on here. We're going to grab Tom. Tom, you got 30 seconds, buddy.
Hey, Dave, this is Tom. So with Terry's question, the checks are going out to people that didn't file a tax return, that the IRS doesn't have their bank information on file. So those are being slower. So that the checks that are being sent out started with lower income people, and every week it's more. So I just had a client yesterday, got their check in the mail, but they were at lower income. So if you're a higher income, they'll go along, but it could be July, August before everybody gets their checks.
Okay. All right, because they're being mailed. So if they had bank instructions, they got it.
If you owed taxes and were paying taxes and weren't having your refunds direct deposited, then they don't have your bank information on file. Now, you can go to IRS.gov, and there is a way that you can enter that information in so you can get it direct deposited.
Great stuff. Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Have a good weekend. Thanks. Okay.
You too. Bye.
All right. Hey, Steve, I'm sorry. I'm not going to try to make you do a 10-second deal here, okay? We're going to roll out of here, and thank you again, all the phone callers. Any comments, questions, shoot those to PetsoFinancial.com. During the week, we'd love to talk with you. And, again, thank you all for tuning in, and thanks again for participating. There is a rally again today at the Capitol at noon for those that want to. Have a great weekend, everybody.